Hi, friends. Welcome to your Pleasure Path podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Drysdale. I am a pleasure activator and sex and relationship coach. My intention with this podcast is to bring you tools and resources for you to shift your relationship to pleasure, intimacy, sex, and beyond, because this is your unique pleasure path.
Okay, we are here with the Your Pleasure Path podcast. I am Catherine, and I'm here with Naomi Levine. I'm just so excited to have you on. For those of you who don't know, Naomi and I met as we were completing a coaching certification with Lexi D'Angelo, diving deep into NLP, EFT, hypnosis, and time techniques. And she's since gone on to do so much more work. So Naomi, aka Nams, is an energy and empowerment transformation coach, whose mission is to guide ambitious women from stuck to unstoppable and into alignment using potent and powerful mindset and nervous system techniques, plus the wisdom of the chakra system, so you can shift your mindset and identity, slay your fears and limiting beliefs, and shine with confidence and clarity. As a master practitioner of NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, EFT, emotional freedom technique, aka tapping, and time techniques, time integration for maximum empowerment, hypnotherapy, and integrative alchemy, Naomi supports women who are ready to show up as the best version of themselves in their body, in their careers, in their relationships, and create the dream lives that feel aligned as fuck to bring them sustainable joy and abundance. Naomi's committed to helping women get their sparkle and groove back, embrace their inner badass, and thrive in healthy, mindful ways. She combines her love of Zen, woo, and wellness with her innate sassy glow-getterness and empowers others to do the same. Her goal is to help you unleash your own badass goddess using a specialized blend of proven systems and magical theory and rituals. Wow. Naomi.
Hi.
Hi.
We're here. So
we are here, and I'm so excited to have you here, and I'm so excited to see like how our friendship has blossomed over the years and like to see how you've like shifted, shined, and slayed in your own business.
That's right.
So tell me a bit how you got your start and what led you to become an energy and empowerment transformation coach.
So my personal journey began with health and wellness. So I was in a place in a 9-to-5 that I hated my job and didn't feel confident in my body and felt like I had let things go. And so that really was the catalyst. So taking control of my health and wellness, which then led me down the road of personal development. I then hired my first coach, and in that process, did a lot of work around fear of failure and fear of success and recognizing what I truly wanted, and realized that the 9-to-5 life that I was in was no longer in alignment. So I left my 9-to-5, not knowing exactly what was next, which I still look back on and part of me can't really believe that I did it. But it was scary, but I felt so good doing it. And immediately everyone around me was like, wow, best decision ever. So within just a matter of weeks of my last day, everything sort of fell into place. And that's when the stars aligned and I found our certification, and thought at first, like, I'm going into this for business to add some new tools and figure out what the fuck I want my business to be. And in the process, started using all of the magical tools and modalities for myself, and things just sort of blossomed from there. And I feel like I say this every 3 to 6 months. If you told me 3 to 6 months ago what I'd be doing this now, I wouldn't believe you. So
I love that. And I love that too, because like we all like have permission to change and grow and adapt.
Yes.
And it changes all the time. And, you know, yeah, 3 to 6 months is a significant amount of time to make change.
Exactly.
Like, change can happen quickly, it can happen mm-hmm. slower. Everyone's journey is different and it gets to be uniquely yours. So I'm yeah. glad that I met you on this path.
Me too. I was thinking, actually, I was talking to someone else from our program. It's exactly 2 years in a few days. Will be exactly 2 years from when we met in person.
Wow.
At our retreat. Yeah.
Don't make me cry.
I know, right? Crazy what can happen in 2 years.
I know. Wow. Two years. 2 years of NLP. Wow.
Right. Yeah. And even at that point, I wasn't even thinking about using the chakras in my work at all.
Yeah.
So things really took a turn there.
So what made you decide, I guess, what was the catalyst to integrate chakras within your business and use that with these other tools?
Yeah. So I was an art major in college. So the idea of color and color theory and like being a total color geek has always been part of my identity. And so when I was in the health and wellness world and was trying to find like a unique spin to things, I sort of had this idea of like coming up with different recipes and like smoothie recipes. So I had the shake your chakra like freebie that I did.
That's so cute.
And so I just like kind of had it in my back pocket as a little like fun side hobby. And one of the first programs that I did was a group session, and I created a meditation where I sort of did like a chakra body scan. And so I started using that more and more with one-on-one and group clients, and started having both peers in the industry and clients be like, why aren't you making this your thing? Mm-hmm. Like, you clearly get so lit up about it. You clearly know more than you're like owning. And so I just really went down the rabbit hole. And now the framework of everything I do is under the lens of the chakras in some way.
I love that. And it's funny too, that like, just seeing how that's developed over time is how much you've integrated that. Cause like, I even remember when we first started posting on TikTok too, like mm-hmm. I was looking at all your chakra videos and I'm like, where the fuck did this come from? Like, it was so amazing. I'm like, damn, this bitch is blowing up. Like, these are some good videos. And for anyone watching too, like, make sure to check out her Instagram. Like, she has lots of great resources and tools on like how to access and tap into different chakras and see like what's blocked and what's not. There's a lot. How to eat for your chakra.
Yeah. And I feel like that's the thing, right? There's so many ways. It's like Photoshop, right?
Yeah.
You think you know one tool, and then there's all these different ways how to use it. And I get asked a lot, like, are you afraid that the chakras are too woo for people? And no is my answer, because first of all, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. And I like
exactly.
chakras, so cool. But
yes.
Also, it's like, my goal is to make the chakras and how I use them as accessible as possible for anyone who doesn't know what they are or thinks that it's really woo. Because at the end of the day, like, it's a matter of, you have the chakras within you, right? And so it's a matter of how you choose to acknowledge them and use them. The same as like your birth chart, right? Like, everyone was born, everyone has a birth chart. It's up to you to decide how, if and how and when you want to use that.
Exactly. No, I love how you broke that down too, because like astrology, human design, Myers-Briggs,
exactly.
all of these, Enneagram, like all of these things are just tools to help us understand ourselves better.
Mm-hmm.
And every person is going to resonate with a different tool or a different combination of tools. So I fucking love that. So then for people who are unfamiliar with the chakras, like what are they? And what's sort of a breakdown of all of that juicy
totally.
Stuff?
It is juicy. So the most accessible metaphor that I like to use is, first of all, like I said, we all have the chakras within us. There's Some schools of thought think that there are more than seven, but for all intents and purposes, we're going to go with the primary seven energy mm-hmm. centers. And so these are energy centers that we all have within us. And you can think of them, chakra literally means wheel. So you can think of them as rotating discs or wheels within your body, and they're aligned on your spinal column. So each one going from the tailbone, the base of the spine is your root, all the way up to the top of your head, extending outward at your crown. And within there, each of the seven chakras aligns with a different part of the body, different parts of the body, different types of emotions, different colors, different foods, different characteristics, all of these different things and ways to work with and access them. And so if you think of your body and the chakra system as a whole as an office building, each of the chakras is a different department. So each one is responsible for assimilating, managing, releasing, taking in information and energy and processing that within. So when you hear people talk about your chakras being balanced or in harmony, that's within each one as well as the system as a whole. So if you're thinking about it like an office building, you need each department to be running smoothly. And all the departments need to work together so that those wheels, if you think of them like cogs, are going at a healthy, harmonious, balanced rate that they're working together.
That's a great analogy with the office building too, because I would have never have thought of it like that.
Yeah, I can't remember where I heard that, but it made so much sense.
No, that's so great. Cause yeah, you know, each part of our body, even if you think about like different parts of our lives, you know, like our family life, our career, our health, like all of these different aspects of our lives, like need to work in harmony, but they also need to work independently as well. So yes, exactly. It makes sense that, you know, having this analogy to help us understand the chakras and sort of where they are in our body as well too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's this thing of, right, like energy being in constant flow. Mm-hmm. So the flow of the energy, this is the other like kind of chakra 101 that I always like to tell people, is the current of energy runs in both directions, up and down the column. So when we talk about going from the root up to the crown, that's the liberation chain. So that's all about going from the physical to mental, from the physical plane to like the ethereal state, right? And then the reverse, going from crown to root, is the manifestation chain. So it's all about getting aligned with your higher self and spirituality and your thoughts, and bringing that through your emotions, bringing that into action, and then bringing the results into the physical plane. So we can work with both, and there are different instances where and different situations where it makes more sense to work in one direction or the other. But it's also like a constant like pinball machine or like ping pong, right? Like once mm-hmm. you manifest the thing, you're back at the root, you're a new version of self, you have to elevate and go up the liberation chain. Once you're in that new version of self, you can manifest something new. And so it's this constant ebb and flow.
Do you ever work with like one specific chakra at a time, or do you like to sort of flow through and integrate all of them in the same?
I get asked this question a lot, and the answer in general is it depends, but typically what we might believe is the source of the problem is often not, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So there's two things that I always like to look at. And that is, we like to look at the chakra sort of bookending. So before and after. So let's say that you are having an issue with you believe it's your throat chakra, right? Like I'm having trouble speaking my voice or showing up on social media. And I think it's because I'm afraid of being heard, right? In theory, that sounds like an obvious throat chakra issue. But we would also want to look at your heart chakra, which comes just before, because that is the place of self-esteem and self-love and giving and receiving support. Mm-hmm. We also want to look at the third eye that comes right above, because that's about tapping into imagination and letting ourselves dream. So mm-hmm. if there's something out of sync with feeling like we don't have a community and we don't belong, then yes, we're going to think our voice doesn't deserve to be heard. So there's a heart throat thing. If we're not clear on the dreams, then how can we talk about it? So it exactly. could be a third eye throat thing. The other piece is if you fold the chakra system in half, there is an upper and lower counterpoint to each. Mm-hmm. So the throat lines up with the solar plexus. And solar plexus is all about personal power, confidence, determination, taking aligned action. And so if there's something off there and you don't have the confidence and the determination, motivation, aligned drive, then of course you're not going to be able to show up and use your voice. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit, I don't want to say chicken and egg, but again, it's this like parts of a whole. So we might focus in on the throat chakra because that seems like that's the jumping off point, right? Mm-hmm. And then we discover that there's so much more.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And you know, it makes sense that, you know, the throat chakra is also, you know, the polarity is the solar plexus. Because, yeah, if you're not motivated, if you don't have that drive, then why the fuck would you want to speak?
Exactly.
And vice versa.
Exactly.
Why do you want to speak if you're not motivated about what you're talking about? So that's exactly. another way to check in with yourself to see like what is the root here? And that's that's the whole reason the chakra is just another way to figure out what is the depth, like what is actually happening here.
Yes. And I like to think of it as an energetic language, right? Because when we know ourselves and we know that energetic language within ourselves better, we're able to then have the relationships and the communication and like it, you know, ripples out into all these other things.
Yeah. So then what chakras do you think most relate to like sex, love, and relationships then?
Yeah. So the obvious one is sacral, right? Because sacral is second from the bottom, right? And it's physically connected to our reproductive organs. Mm-hmm. So Leda, right? It's also our lower chakras. So root, sacral, and a little bit solar plexus are very much connected to those sort of base primal emotions and primal needs. So when we're talking about our need for safety and security, that's our root chakra. Mm-hmm. And so having that sense of safety and security and trust with self as well as with a partner, crucial. So that's root chakra, right? Sacral, of course, is about pleasure. So sensuality.
We're here. Yeah,
exactly. And so when we talk about sensuality and pleasure and balance with the sacral chakra, again, it starts with self. And when we talk about sensuality, it's like thinking about how to bring in the other senses as well so that you can have a full pleasurable experience from all levels. And so boundaries come into play with the sacral chakra, right? And so being able to say, this is what I'm available for, this is what brings me pleasure, right? And so recognizing that, it's very much about balance with the sacral chakra too. So balancing masculine and feminine energy, balancing work and play, avoiding burnout, right? So all of these things, when we talk about relationships, right?
Yeah.
If we're feeling burnout, and this will then bring us into solar plexus, which is next. If we're feeling like we're overworked, if we're feeling like we're not respecting our boundaries, that our time and our energy is being zapped, then of course we're not available for the full pleasure that we might otherwise desire or be able to experience, right? Yeah. And then when we go to the solar plexus, like I mentioned before, this is our power center, our confidence center. So when we talk about feeling sexy, that's a combination at the real base of it of sacral and solar plexus. Sacral is super feminine energy. It's very much in flow. It's very primal. It's associated with water. So like for people who are listening and not watching, I'm like doing this like flow wave with my body. And then solar plexus is a little bit more of a masculine energy because it's about taking action and having that confidence.
So the charge, the drive. Yeah. Exactly. And you need both to be in balance for it to work.
Exactly. Exactly. And then kind of working our way up real quick, we have the heart chakra, right? Of course, it's about love. It's about joy. It's about giving and receiving of support. And so if there's something is off with being able to give and receive support with gratitude, with joy, that's going to stop us from having a fulfilled relationship and being able to experience that pleasure as well. Mm-hmm. The heart chakra is also about community. So that's something to keep in mind, right? Like being connected to the collective and the earth. When we go up to the throat chakra, like I mentioned, it's about your voice, speaking authentically, right? So if you can't ask for what you want in the bedroom or in a relationship, that's a problem, right?
Like, and I love that you mentioned too, like boundaries being connected to sacral, because like,
yes.
I would have thought about boundaries being connected to like your throat because you're physically expressing them like verbally, yes. But like you have to know what they are first, and you have to feel into where in your body you're needing, yes, to set those boundaries before you can express them to your partner, and even like boundaries, yes, with self too.
Yes. And so again, this is why that like ebb and flow from root to crown and crown to root is so important, because there might be certain seasons of life when you are not in partnership or you are dating and things are changing in your relationship. And so maybe sex isn't on the table, but being able to communicate your boundaries, right? They go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And so finding what feels right for you, right? The throat chakra is all about integrity, authenticity, mm-hmm, speaking your truth. Right. So when we talk about expression, your sacral chakra is about sensual expression, creative expression. Your throat chakra is about authentic and true and integrity when it comes to expression. So slight tweaks in the differences there.
But they're both expression. And
I love that. And then third eye, like I mentioned earlier, is dreaming, right? Imagination, innovation. And so being able to like shoot for the moon for goals and things like that. So when it comes to partnership and relationships, it's being able to have that vision of what you want your ideal relationship to look like, and mm-hmm, for self, but also within partnership, right? Like, are you guys on the same page with what you want in the relationship? And being able to, it's about new ideas and sort of pushing the envelope a little bit. Third eye, when we fold them in half, is the counterpart for sacral.
Would third eye then be the dreamy nature of like, I don't know, more play, like role, yes, play, stuff like that?
Yes.
That chakra is activated when you're sort of like getting outside of your body and you're like,
yes,
thinking of, I don't know, new ways of doing things or just,
yes,
future vision in general.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. So the idea of like fantasy, mm-hmm, right? Or, mm-hmm, toys or whatever, yeah, you might bring into the bedroom. Like that is a perfect, if that conversation is on the table and happening in a healthy way, that is a clear sign that you are balanced and in harmony and healthy in third eye and sacral, and that they're working together and speaking to one another from the opposite ends.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And then finally, the crown chakra is like highest self, right? It's also our connection to spirituality, to source, to feeling worthy, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing that I start with a lot of my clients, starting with the crown, because if you don't know who that higher version of you is that you want to be, and you don't feel worthy of being that person, then the rest of it almost doesn't matter, right? It's where like the intention truly comes from.
Yeah.
And so it could be that, you know, connection to what I call Gus, right? God, universe, source, mm-hmm, can play a role in that for a lot of people. And so really being able to tap into that. And I think that's really important when we look at relationships as well, whether you're single or in partnership, right? Like, who is the version of you that's in the desired reality of the best version of partnership? And how, mm-hmm, can you embody that? And then the rest of it starts to flow.
Yeah. It's like knowing what your higher self is, how to embody, how to act, how to behave, mm-hmm, what your thoughts are, but then also being that highest version of yourself, what kind of partnership do you want to attract or,
yes,
even have in your physical reality with a partner that you might have already? It's like we need to give ourselves permission to activate into our highest self, but also,
yes,
set the standards and the tone of what we want out of a partnership and whatever sort of dynamic that it exists in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's when I said before, like the obvious place to start with pleasure and sexuality is sacral, mm-hmm. but you could absolutely define yourself and define your relationship and like what sexy means in relation to each chakra, right?
Yeah.
It, like if you're in your highest self, like what does sexy mean when you are living your best fucking life?
Yeah.
What does sexy mean when you're using your voice authentically and sort of like giving yourself the opportunity to define what partnership, what sexy means under those different lenses will add another layer of like richness to your relationships, whether yeah. they're romantic or not.
I so love that. And it's funny because like I never even would have thought of putting the context of sex and relationships in every single one of the chakras, but like
yeah.
that's literally amazing. And so one thing that I was noticing, like when I went to Tulum, for example, there's a huge community of people who are into and like teach about like sacred sexuality and mm-hmm. almost like similar to tantra practices. So what are your thoughts on that and like sacred sexuality and how to integrate your chakras within, you know, intimacy with a partner?
That's something really fun to explore that I actually haven't given a lot of thought into, but there's obvious connections, right? So yeah. when we talk about, I think it's very much going to be like the bookend of the chakra system because mm-hmm. we've got the root and sacral, right? Because again, our primal needs and honoring the primal needs of your body, right? And coming from your root chakra. And then the sensuality and pleasure of the sacral chakra, combining that with the spirituality that comes with the crown chakra is really beautiful. And I think there's so much power there, right? Because again, we fold them in half, root mm-hmm. and crown are connected. So if you can feel both grounded in who you are, grounded in your physical body, grounded in your sexuality, grounded in what brings you pleasure, and then layer that, combine it with the things that turn you on spiritually,
mm-hmm.
there's definitely something there. Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like in a way too, it like spiritual sexuality, at least how I view it, is it allows this depth in a way too, because
yes.
sex, you know, there's multiple ways that we can define sex. It's not mm-hmm. always P and V, like
right.
vagina. There's penetration, there's oral, there's touching, there's whatever. Like there's so many different ways to define sex, and every single person gets to define that for themselves. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, even if we think about the different types of compatibility within relationships, yes. like intellectual, emotional, spiritual, sexual, sensual, like mm-hmm. we get to combine all of these things. And when we include like our spirituality into our sex life, this just allows it to go even deeper and connect yeah. on such a deeper level.
Yeah. Right. Like think about all the people who are like, oh, like I get turned on, like, what, I'm going to forget the right term. When you're like turned on by people who are smart, intellectual.
Sapiosexual.
That's what yeah. I thought. And I didn't want to say it and be wrong. So like, right. So like if you're a true sapiosexual, like you need that to turn you on, right? Like having a braingasm, right?
Oh
like,
yeah, absolutely.
What if you can have a braingasm, a soulgasm, and an actual like physical orgasm? Like,
yeah.
What if there's a way to that combine all of those? Right? Yeah. yeah.
No.
And so totally. I think the more we speak that energetic language, the more we open ourselves up to be available for that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like too, I don't know about you, but like, at least for me, like the further I've gone on my spiritual awakening, my spiritual path and understanding of psychology and whatnot, like, I feel like in some ways, like my sexual awakening has been happening yes. too, where I've been yes. more in tune with my body and
yes.
what I want and what I need. And even though right now I'm not having partnered sex, I'm having amazing orgasms by myself. And that's because I'm allowing myself to be like open and receptive to like new ways of experiencing pleasure.
So this is where we bring in the mind, body, soul connection, mm-hmm. right? And so the idea that like when we know ourselves on the physical level, it allows us to be open to things on the mental and spiritual and vice mm-hmm. versa. Yeah. So when we get to know ourselves more, and it really like self-awareness leads to empowerment. And I think that's true on the mental, emotional, and physical level. So the more that you're on any sort of personal development, spiritual development journey, it would be, I don't want to say it would be like negligent or wrong. Like the ability to like take what's happening in your spiritual, personal, mental, emotional journey and apply that to your physical body, like it's just going to enhance the experience.
Yeah.
Because your level of self-awareness on all fronts is increasing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, I'm even looking back at, you know, like my past sexual life, when I was in a more disempowered state and like I had sex all the time, decent sex, great orgasms, but like, it was very shallow. And, you know, the more work we do on ourselves, the more we prioritize our own healing and maybe even give ourselves permission to heal ourselves, turn that inward, figure out what we want for ourselves, then that makes it easier and almost like better when you have that relationship with a partner, is you're able to know exactly this, this, and this is what I like. This is how I want to get there. Do it this mode, this frequency, like talk dirty to me, put on candles. And then it makes it so much better because you've given yourself an opportunity to get to know yourself more intimately. And it just, it makes it much more explosive.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too, when you bring up healing, this is where we can connect the nervous system piece of it, mm-hmm. right? Because when we talk about our nervous system, the chakras and the mindset and the identity are often in the like top down approach, right? But we can't ignore the bottom up. And I think that's where the nervous system really comes into play, because this is one of my favorite facts that like blew my mind. So I share it with everyone, is the vagus nerve, which is like the primary piece of the nervous system, which runs parallel to the chakras, FYI, along the spinal column and connects to all of our major organs. The vagus nerve is 20% of that information is brain to body communication. 80% is body to brain, which means that your body is 4 times more powerful at knowing what it needs in any given moment to be in a regulated state.
Yeah.
We're so often taught to listen to our brain and to use our brain that we forget to listen to our body. And things like our trauma responses, how we experience pleasure, why we want pleasure, all of those things, if we listen to our body and we work with our nervous system, we can really heal and turn that around.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned that too, like even just something that came to mind with like, you know, our body's telling us that we're thirsty before we experience thirst, right? Before we can conceptualize, hey, I'm thirsty. Like me, myself, I'm like, okay, let me sip my water. But you know, like Our physiology changes when we're experiencing these, like, not even necessarily altered states, but our body. Yeah, we get these cues of like what to pick up on, like even, you know, with arousal too, like there's different things that change in our body.
Yep.
And that can indicate, okay, I'm like kind of turned on right now. Like I really like that. But then how do you recommend like using your body as a tool to help us regulate like our own nervous system when it comes to, I don't know, like sex and relationships in general?
Yeah. So this is where I love connecting the chakras and the nervous system. This is where I get a little nerdy, but it's like bringing magic and science together. So when you're able to speak the energetic language of your chakras and the physiological scientific language of your nervous system, you can really hone in on your needs. And mm-hmm. so I think one of the like basic ways for people when it comes to like what they get turned on by or what turns them off is honestly just like keeping a journal of it, making a note of it, right? And so when we talk about the nervous system, we want to be in the green zone or the window of tolerance, right? We want to be in a state where we feel safe. We feel like a little playful and a little turned on. But if we drop into the one zone or the other where we're either hyper aroused or hypo aroused, either our mind takes over and it's running a million miles a minute, our heart rate is beating fast from a place that's not, doesn't feel good, or we're in a place of shutdown, right? We retreat. It's a little bit like the freeze, fawn, fight, flight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's where the trauma responses come into play too. And mm-hmm. having that awareness and recognizing, okay, when I do experience a trigger and or something traumatic, like what is my response? So yes. that you can identify it. And then, mm-hmm. okay, once you know, it's like, okay, how can I learn from it and yes. change the situation?
Yes. And so the thing that I am starting to do with my clients now to sort of marry the two is to notice. So when you're in a moment where you feel triggered, also when you feel totally in your window of tolerance, make note mm-hmm. of that too. But what is the physical environment? What are the emotions you're experiencing? What are the thoughts you're experiencing? And what are the physical sensations you're experiencing? And once you take note of those, you might start to notice that there's a common thread that it's connected to your throat chakra. Mm. Or it's connected to your heart chakra, right? So if I feel like, so if you're in a situation and you feel triggered and your heart's beating really fast, like you're having a panic attack, you are doubting your sense of self-esteem, you feel really uncomfortable and not seen, and like you're not in a place where you can give and receive love and pleasure, then that's dysregulation from your heart chakra. Mm-hmm. And your heart chakra is connected to the element of air and your breath. So something like breath work is a tool to bring you into regulation. Mm-hmm. And that could be for self. That could also be in partnership, right? Like imagine if you're like, okay, you recognize that. And then you're like, I need to breathe. Will you breathe with me? Like that's kind of hot. Right?
Yeah,
like
it's definitely an opportunity to enhance intimacy, like in the moment yeah. too.
Yeah. And because you're expressing your needs, whether they're related to sex or not.
Yeah.
And so you're building that intimacy, you're building that sensuality with yourself and your partner. So the more you can recognize what the cues are telling you. So if you, again, you look at your environment, your emotions, your thoughts, and the physical sensations, and notice if they feel connected to a certain chakra, a certain part of your body, what the message is, that can then give you some tools to regulate.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like in some ways too, especially, you know, if you're breathing with your partner, like mm-hmm. as you're intimate, like that's an opportunity for co-regulation as well. Like yes. oftentimes in the healing space, we often think about like, oh, I'm going to heal independently by myself without my partner. But mm-hmm. co-regulation is actually a huge and very important tool within relationships because it's just not practical or realistic to expect ourselves to regulate ourselves all the time. And it's actually yes. healthy coping to yes. allow our partner to co-regulate with us, exactly. whether you're the one experiencing the trigger or they are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the other thing too, when we were talking before about the what's connected to the sacral chakra, it's the element of water, right? So like taking a bath, taking a shower, going swimming, walking outside in the rain, and letting it be a fully sensual experience for yourself or for your partner. And the more you can recognize the things that put you in a regulated or dysregulated state, you can help your partner recognize that as well. So you can be the co-regulator and you can mm-hmm. say, hey, you know what I think we should do right now? It's raining outside. How do you feel about going for a walk in the rain? Mm-hmm. Like, I think this would be good for both of us.
Yeah.
And sort of recognizing those cues and finding ways to bond and co-regulate rather than one or both of you with retreating and withdrawing or flying off the handle.
Yeah, I love that. And that's like a almost an opportunity for redirection. Like,
yes.
If you had planned to be sexually intimate with your partner, like, let's say in the evening after work, but like, you notice they've had a stressful day, and you mm-hmm. can suggest something else to do instead, that's still bonding. And yes. I think that really goes to show that like context is very important, as well as our like general nervous system, emotional state, like
totally.
That affects our libido so much, just as an individual, but also in a couple. And to mm-hmm. have like the mismatched desire and libido is very common. And so to yes. be able to recognize that and then sort of adapt and flow with it, that's a huge game changer within relationships.
And I think that sort of circles back before, if you're able to define what sexy means with the different lens of each chakra, it doesn't have to mean actual sex. Mm-hmm. There could be something else that makes you feel intimate and sexual with your partner, and mm-hmm. you get to define what that is.
Yeah, it could be yeah. a sensual bath together. I personally am a fan of like the makeout, like dry humping, like very underrated, but like that's a great way to
very underrated.
Like, very underrated. I'm like, ooh, this is like kind of high school, but like it's so fun. And it's like
yeah.
there's other ways to have that physical intimacy without actually having sex. Like,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but like I've, you know, wanted to have that physical connection with someone, but mm-hmm. I'm not in the mood. Maybe it's just naked cuddling and you want to watch something on Netflix too. That sure. is okay too.
Yeah. And that's the thing, when we bring in the chakras, you can play with, there's, you know, different essential oils, different crystals, different foods, different colors. And so if you're recognizing like, I feel like my third eye needs some nurturing, right? Mm-hmm. Like bring in some lavender, bring in some amethyst, bring in, you know, and use these other elements, right? Like mm-hmm. I talked about the breath work for the heart chakra, and find these other activities or tools that can activate a certain chakra for you, and therefore put you in a place that feels more comfortable and intimate with your partner.
Yeah. One thing that just popped up too is like another opportunity for like intimacy and sexuality that I feel like maybe relates to the third eye, but tell me if I'm wrong, is like mm-hmm. watching porn with a partner. If you're yes. trying to spice things up
yes.
in the bedroom, but you're not exactly sure what exactly you want that to look like, that's a great bonding moment to,
yes.
you know, see what your partner likes, see what mm-hmm. you like, and then figure out, okay, what from these scenarios do we actually want to integrate within our own sex life?
Yeah. And so this is a perfect example, right, of how we can go through each of the chakras real quick. So if you recognize, okay, I have come into this level of self-awareness with my crown chakra, I know who this new version of me is and who she is, how she defines sexiness, and what she wants. So then you go into third eye, and it's about having that conversation about fantasy, watching porn, whatever it is, mm-hmm. make believe, dress
smut
up,
books,
role play,
whatever.
Right. And with that, you then go into the throat chakra. And that's where you're able to say, I like this, I don't like this, more of this, less of that. You move into your heart chakra, you feel that love, right? There's that joy there. It's about giving and receiving in all senses, right? We come into our solar plexus, we're activated in this place of confidence that then we take everything from those upper chakras into the lower chakras, and it becomes more physical when mm-hmm. we get to the solar plexus. And so what we've seen in the porn, what we've communicated from what we want, then we get to put it into action, which then brings us into the sacral, which is all about experiencing sensual pleasure and knowing that the end result is the root chakra feeling safe and secure in your relationship, in mm-hmm. partnership, and in the sexual encounter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And like knowing that there's so many different ways to feel safe within your relationship too. It's
yes.
like everyone gets to define that for themselves, and like safety to you in one moment might be different than safety to you in another moment. Like it can yes. change.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a real crossover between nervous system and chakras as well, because the nervous system really is based in, again, our primal needs. So it's very much connected to root energy about that safety and security, staying in that window of tolerance where we feel safe, but we're also open to play and stimulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. I love that. And then where does like trauma come into play with this too?
My gosh, yeah.
Which is like very, very deeply integrated, but I know it's a topic that not a lot of people want to talk about, but it's something that most people experience.
Yeah, so typically trauma, especially childhood trauma or inner child healing, will be in the root and sacral, because a lot of those fundamental emotions and sometimes the lower vibration emotions live there. So we could also think of it like pairing it with like Maslow's hierarchy of needs or the scale of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so those lower vibrational emotions, guilt, shame, fear, those are all connected to root and sacral. And so oftentimes trauma, healing trauma, can come from working with the root and sacral. But again, like I said, once we delve into it, there's going to be other chakras that come into play as a result, but we can usually like crack the lid on the jar when we go in at root and sacral with most trauma.
Yeah. How I like to view, like, I love that you said Maslow's hierarchy of needs with the chakra system, because that's also how I view it. For those of you who aren't aware, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a sort of a psychology like theory and principle that we have to take care of our most basic needs of like safety, security, having a stable like home, food, water, shelter, stuff like that, before we can take care of other needs like love, belonging, friendship, all sorts of stuff. And then eventually it comes up to sort of like enlightenment, which is similar to the chakra system, crown starting chakra, with the root up to the crown, which again is enlightenment, oneness, you know, the more ethereal. And, you know, it goes to show, like, even though these are two very different systems, they have similar foundations, to where, like, if the foundation, which literally is your root, your safety, security, is broken, then of course it's going to be harder to connect with these other chakras and to other people in your life and within your relationship if you're not feeling safe and secure. So, like, that is the really the most important place to focus on, is feeling the safety and security. Then the rest will come.
Yeah. That's what I love about the chakra system, because it really overlaps with all of these other things, right? So like I said at the beginning, if chakras seem too woo for you, okay, well, do you understand Maslow hierarchy of needs? Do you understand the nervous system? Do you understand scale of consciousness? Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Chakra system can be layered on each of those. You know those books when you have like the layers of the body or the layers of the food, and you like can like peel it back? It's the same thing, right? Like, they are perfect matches for one another. Yeah,
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. So good. So then, with, I guess, moving more into the, I don't know, spirituality of it all, but I guess it's kind of more psychology based too. It's like past life regression.
Yeah.
Like, I do a lot of Akashic records. We both do hypnosis, but specifically in past life regression, how do you use this as a tool to help clients understand, I guess, deeper of their relationships?
Yeah. So one of the ways that I love opening sessions is sort of like a hypnotic chakra scan. And so we can sort of identify your intentions. So if you go into a hypnotic state, and we can tap into what your subconscious truly desires from a session, and we can ask guided questions, right? So if you know that your root chakra is the place where safety and security live, how can you honor that energy? What are your intentions to open up or activate that energy? So while you're in that state, your subconscious can communicate whatever it needs to communicate. And so we can ask, what are the intentions, or how do you want to honor the intentions of each chakra? What do you need to release to be able to do that? And what gift might each chakra have? And so when we set the stage with those, we can then go into really any technique, but then moving into past life regression can get really juicy, because if we know that these are the intentions and we know that these are the things you want to release, you're communicating with your subconscious to take you to a past life where the knowledge, the healing, the experience, the root of what you truly desire and those intentions is coming from. So when we do a past life regression, again, you're in a hypnotic state and it's guided, and we are asking your subconscious to take us to the moment in time. We go through the full life experience. So we'll go through several memories, knowing what the overall intention is, and we can get to the past life moment where a particular negative emotion or desire might be coming from. Mm-hmm. So maybe in this current lifetime, you are someone who really desires, I don't even, maybe you're into S&M and you're like, I don't know where that comes from. And I can't the part.
This lifetime, I guess it's probably many lifetimes.
right. So then we can go back through lifetimes and we can see, like, maybe you were in, not in a sexual way, but maybe you were in a dom role in a past life. Absolutely. Or not. And so you're here to, you're healed to get that in this life. Right. And yeah. So we can, when we know the intentions, right. Or like if you're questioning in partnership, if this relationship is one to pursue, or if you're questioning marriage or having kids and these different seasons of life, a lot of those answers we can find in our past life regression. So maybe there is, you know, beyond just an inner child, maybe there's a past life wound. Maybe there is like a mother wound from a past mm-hmm. life. And so you either are or are not meant to have children in this lifetime because of something from your past.
Yeah.
Right. Like maybe you are here to heal and to teach and whatever, something else. Right. Yeah. And so when we know what the intention is, that can guide which life we're taken to and what lessons from that life we're going to withdraw.
Yeah. It's funny because I did a past life regression session with Lauren, who also mm-hmm. was certified with us.
Shout out like, to our girl, Lauren. Yep.
We love Lauren. We'll tag her too. And like in this session, like my intention was trying to have clarity on like how to move forward personally in my business within sexuality, because I was experiencing a lot of blocks. And for me, like pursuing a career in sexuality, as well as the desire for having a loving, stable, committed relationship and a family, were so like full bodied, like a need. But yeah. I was having a hard time conceptualizing how exactly to take action in the right way and where I was experiencing these blocks. Mm-hmm. And when we went through this session, like I realized that like I had a past life as a sex priestess, like I've literally done this work before.
Right. And so you are meant to do this.
I am so meant to do this. Mm-hmm. And it was like, in a sense, it was a confirmation for me to be like, okay, I'm not fucking crazy. Like yes. this isn't all in my head. Like yes. my soul among many lifetimes has led me to this exact moment in yes. this exact lifetime to share my mission in this way, because we have the sort of the, I don't know, technology at our fingertips, you know, yeah. we now yeah. are able to magnify our message. And in this past lifetime, I was living in Marrakesh in like, I forget which time period, but like I taught and trained 500 sex priestesses, mm-hmm. but it's all word of mouth, because back then there was no right. cars,
right.
there was no nothing, like horse yeah. and carriage. Maybe like everything by foot. And like versus now, it's like we have the ability to connect with people online, like even recording this podcast, we're doing it virtually. So just the ability to connect with so many more people. And that's sort of what led me to even create this whole podcast to begin with, is like, I'm on a mission. I understood that my mission is here to educate and uplift people to learn more about all aspects of sexuality and figure out what it is, what it means to them, and how they want to continue empowering themselves in that process.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that happens a lot with these past life regressions. You get guidance, you get confirmation. I had a very similar experience. I was doing similar work to what I'm doing now in Greece in my last lifetime. It was like, I've always had a connection to Greece and I've always had a connection to crystals. Well, guess what? I was like a fucking alchemist and was like, had people coming to me for healing stuff, you know, that my grandmother taught me in Greece. So sure, of course. And when it comes to, so that's like, you know, your overall path can get a lot of guidance. But even within relationships, right? So you might be able to understand, this happens a lot too, that we can connect souls from previous lifetimes that we're connected to again here. And so, right? So there's that, there's the twin flame thing, but even you can recognize it's like,
just soul family, soul mates, karmic cycles, karmic relationships.
Yes. And so a question that we always ask is like, of the people that you experienced in that past life, do you have a knowing that they are someone in your current life? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like you physically see them and you know, sometimes it's just this inner knowing. I know myself, I had one where it's like, I feel like this particular person in the past life is someone I know, but I can't put my finger on who it is. So either they're in my life already, or they're coming to me and I know it.
You haven't met. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that could be a best friend, right? Like a soulmate doesn't have to be a sexual partner.
Cleo, my dog, she's a soulmate for sure.
Yes. Pets have souls, right? And there's like so many layers we can get into with this of like, for example, 100% of your soul is not currently here in this current lifetime in this current body. So there's a percentage of your soul that's in another lifetime. There's a percentage of your soul that's
parallel lifetimes.
There could be a percentage of your soul, exactly, in your, you know, your spirit guides, whatever. And so the more that you can kind of explore that, I know this might sound so woo. Right? Like, I get it. But when you experience these things, again, it comes back to this idea of awareness. And awareness really breeds empowerment because it brings you clarity. It gives you, you know, curiosity is one of my biggest values and biggest tenets in my business and all of my work. And so the more you can allow yourself to be curious, the more you open yourself up to what's possible. And being open to what's possible will bring you the things that give you awareness and absolutely, that gives you the growth and everything else.
Yeah. Side note, for anyone who's curious about past life regression and still thinks it's a little too crazy, the book Journey of Souls, I forget what his name is. Newton or something.
Yes.
The book Journey of Souls, he literally takes you through these case studies of, I think, like 30 different people and all of their experiences in between lifetimes. So going back to past lives, but also in the space in between. And so
a lot happens in the space in between.
And that reading that book like really helped me like logically, consciously in this physical body conceptualize the space in between and reincarnation. Yes. I already was like into the woo anyways, because I opened my Akashic records by accident one day.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when that happened. Yeah.
I was like, oh, what the fuck? And for those of you also listening, Akashic Records, essentially, it's a record haul of all of the things that have ever happened to you in your lifetime. It's another tool to essentially get a similar result to past life regression,
yes.
As well as NLP also can work to yep. understand things in past life. Like we've mentioned, there are many different tools to get to the same place. It's just figuring out what's the best way to get
exactly.
there for you personally.
Exactly. And sometimes it's a combination, right? So yeah, it's very cool. There was something else I was going to say about Akashic Records and now, oh, the other thing I was going to say, if it feels too woo for people, I highly recommend, I know they are kids movies, but I have a watch list for all of my clients and the movie Soul is on there.
I still haven't seen it. It's yeah. I still need to see it.
It is very well done. And it's one of those, if you have small children, they will enjoy it. And you as an adult will have a whole nother level of understanding. So Soul is on my list as well as Inside Out.
I love Inside Out. I cry yes. every single time the entire yes. time.
Yeah, because again, it's the idea of like memory and emotion and all of these things. So there's power and lessons to be had in the cartoons.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I think it just goes to show too, like how pop culture and the media like is sort of educating us in these other ways, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it's more covert, you know, right? than overt. So it's not, okay, this movie is about feelings and
right.
how our core memories are made and how trauma is stored in the body. It's like it goes on this beautiful little path of this girl and how different things that happened in life impacted like how she ended up growing up. But it's like we can still learn a lot from these lessons, and there's
yep.
ways that we can continue to learn and grow and develop by consuming these different like types of media.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, there's more and more of it. And there is something to be said. Is it Pluto?
Plato?
No, there's a planetary alignment that basically aligns with overlapping our generations. So basically overlapping millennials.
Pluto, I think, is every 27 years.
So I think that's what it is. So there is a range that's basically like this, like middle and second half of millennials into sort of the first half of Gen Z. And like, they are here with a purpose. And like, if you, again, getting real woo and star child and the whole star seed, the whole thing, but this idea of like the age of innovation and doing things differently and being open to new ideas, I'm not saying that everything that Gen Z says is right. Cause like, you don't have to part your hair in the middle and you don't have to give up your skinny jeans. That's a topic for another day, but
I still rock my skinny jeans.
There is something to be said about that this generation, which I am just barely on the cusp of, but you are in, that there is, you know, something to be said about how things are being presented and talked about and educated. Right. So I think the fact that we are seeing things in pop culture, like the animated mm-hmm. movies, whether it's covert or not,
mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be more of that. I mean, even our industry, right? Like the coaching industry has grown so much over the last 5, 10, yeah. 15, 20 years.
Multiple billions.
Exactly. And the areas that we specialize in were so woo and even taboo
mm-hmm.
years ago, right? So the opportunity for that, I think, is opening up more and more, which is very exciting.
Yeah, it's super yeah. exciting. It's funny because I think too, now you have me thinking of astrology. And for those of you, that's what we're talking about is the Pluto in terms of astrology with the generations, because we each have different placements of every single planet. And yeah, so there's a lot going on there. But for millennials, I believe, because I know mine personally, my Pluto is in Scorpio. So that makes sense. We're also in Scorpio season now as yep. we're recording this episode. Scorpio is yep. all about like sort of like moody, mysterious, but like sort of revealing what's hidden. And it makes sense why in pop culture and media, there are lessons that are coming that are more sort of subdued, more subconscious.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I'm trying to look it up while we're talking right now. I think that it moved into Scorpio like right up the year I was born, I think, in like 83 or 84, and then going forward. So all of the, you know, people that are out there, like the idea of the change maker being this generation is very real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pushing the boundaries, pushing the norm, calling on people to recognize their shit, right? Yeah. Scorpio is a lot about rebirth energy too. So
rebellion again, too. And a lot of ways.
Yeah. So it makes perfect sense that all of that is happening, and I am so here for it.
So, so fucking here for it. Ugh, I love it. I love it. Oh, so good. I'm trying to think, is there anything else we have? We've covered so much already, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously could geek out talking about
We could go for hours. I guess maybe the last thing to sort of end on before we wrap up is like, what's your relationship to pleasure, and what's something you wish you knew about pleasure when you first started having sex?
I think it's the self-awareness piece, honestly. And I have several clients right now who, in the age of the panorama, are having to date themselves, right? Yeah. And rediscover their bodies and rediscover what they want in relationships. And I think it's actually a really beautiful time for that. And I don't think that there was enough of that encouraged early on.
Yeah.
And I think if I had either been encouraged or listened to the encouragement, because a lot of times you're like, you know, there's that weird, like in the puberty stage when you're like, I don't want to know about my body, I don't want to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then you just skip to like, okay, I have sex now.
Yeah.
Without like the knowledge in between, knowledge of self, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the self-awareness piece is huge.
Yeah, I do feel like this pandemic has sort of given us permission to sort of reset and focus on ourselves in all aspects of life, but definitely with pleasure. I mean, I even know sex toy sales have risen in this past time.
Sure. I mean, I would run out of fingers to count the number of clients and friends that I know that I've been like,
you ran out of fingers maybe that's to count what you to use. I mean, that too.
I mean, the number of people that are like, I've never really spent a lot of money on sex toys, but in the last 18 months, makes perfect sense to me. And I think, again, this idea of like being in a new age, like dating was different with the apps to begin with. And then now you layer in the pandemic and like how we communicate and what, again, that idea of like safety. Mm-hmm. Right? Of like who we want to spend our time with, who we want to be intimate with, and how we make that happen.
Yeah.
Right? Like a lot of people are doing their dates on Zoom and FaceTime. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean for intimacy and partnership and sexuality?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I feel like that has in a way like made us more selective of the people we're allowing into our energy and space, like with the virtual dates first, but then also I feel like in some capacity, I feel like with, you know, all of these dating apps are now having a sticker, a badge to disclose whether or not you're vaccinated or how comfortable you feel wearing masks or if you want distance and stuff like that. And so it sort of sets you up to have deeper conversations about what your expectations are in terms of safety.
Totally.
Yeah. But I feel like also in some ways it can make the conversation for like, STIs and like sexual safety even better, because you're already talking about like, okay, do you wear masks? Yes or no. Okay. Are you vaccinated? Yes or no. Okay. When was the last time you got tested? And sort of like, it's like this checklist, like, okay, if I'm already talking about this, let me talk about this too.
Totally. Totally. It's very interesting that like the whole like isolation leading to intimacy and like what that means and how that looks is very interesting. I think it's fascinating. And again, I think it gives us a lot of interesting opportunities that we wouldn't have even have thought to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
About how to create pleasure for ourselves, whether that's by ourselves or with a partner. So there's, you know, lots of opportunities. And I think there's lots of, again, bringing back the trauma, like being alone, right? Like there might be a lot of things that the self-discovery process is not always easy.
Oh, yes.
Right. Oh, yes. And so all the different layers of healing that have been coming up for people. Yeah. So much to unpack there. Yeah.
So much to unpack, but finally having the space to unpack it.
Exactly.
And that's bringing it back to, you know, our subconscious mind. Like the whole point is to keep us safe. And so that's why, especially in the case of trauma, like our subconscious will like sort of block you from even remembering things that have happened that are traumatic if you don't have the space, the support, et cetera, to actually like do the healing. So I know that's why collectively there's a lot of shit that was stirred up. Like more people now had access to therapists or even pursued having a therapist or a coach during this time, because they're like, oh shit, this, I'm now being forced to deal with this and I didn't prioritize it or wasn't able to before.
Yeah. So true. That's why I love all these tools that we have in our toolkit, because there's so many different ways to approach it for healing and growth that are so beautiful.
Yeah. Like you and I both, you know, we very clearly are into, you know, the psychology, the subconscious mind, NLP, EFT, hypnosis, all of that stuff. Some like woo, you know, there's ways to do it with like Reiki, somatic healing. There's like so much going on that like, also, it's important to know, like, if you try one tool and it doesn't work for you, like, there's a million other ones out there for you. And so just wherever you are on your journey of, like, healing, whether it's, like, personal or in relation to relationships and, like, sexuality, know that, like, you will find the right tool that's going to help you. You will find the right provider for you. There's so many people out there. And just, like, dating and like a relationship, it's so important that you pick the right person for you, and it has to be a mutual, like a mutual flow, a mutual balance.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just staying open to what that process might look like, right? Don't put yourself in a box of what you think is the only way to heal and grow.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
So good.
So is there anything else you would like to share with us today?
I mean, I could go on and on, but I'm just excited about the things that I have coming down the pipes that weave all these things together and sort of moving out of like guinea pig mode into bringing things into the world. So I'm always an open book. So if anyone wants to ask questions or like shoot shit on any of this, I will go down all the rabbit holes.
We love it. We love it. We're here for it.
Yeah.
We're so here for it. And how can our listeners connect with you?
So I live on Instagram most of the time. So that is the best way to find me. So it's Namaste with Nams is the best way to find me on Instagram. So I've got all my links there for all the things.
Oh, so good. So juicy. Yeah. Make sure to DM Naomi. She's amazing. So good. I love it. Ah! Yay! Thank you so much for being on here. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
I know we covered so much.
So much. I hope you guys stuck with us because this was all so juicy. I mean, so I love this shit. We love this shit.
So. We love it. We love hope it. We're here too. For it. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're so, so welcome.